Let us open up our Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. As we're looking at this new year, I want to look at this great beginnings in the life of Israel and this brand new thing that is beginning for them. I want to look at, I'm just going to read through real quick, the first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1. And it's told, "Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." And so I'm looking at this passage and thinking of these new beginnings and these new challenges. And I was interested in what are the common New Year's resolutions. Because a lot of people come the new year resolve to say, I'm going to do this, 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 and they make their list. And I found a site, I don't know, it didn't give me the year, but the top 10 New Year's resolutions that they list, and I think it's probably still similar to this. Number one was spend more time with family and friends. I'm surprised that that was number one based upon our culture, but that's what they had. Number two was regular exercise. Number three was lose weight. I figured those two would be about number one. Number four, quit smoking. Number five, enjoy life more. Number six, quit drinking. Number seven, get out of debt. Number eight, learn something new. Number nine, help others. And number 10, get organized. Those are the top 10 New Year's resolutions. And I want to take a look through the scriptures at what I hope to be what I'm calling my New Year's resolution. And by the grace of God, I'll do it. And I want to look at what the challenge and the charge to Joshua here is. If we look at verse 2, I want to look at the first part of this resolution. He tells him, Moses, my servant, is dead. This is the Lord speaking. Now, therefore, there's two imperatives in this verse. The first one is, arise. Get up. Don't be sitting down. Don't be hanging back, doing what comes to your mind. But get up, and it's time to do something. And they need to get up. And now how can we get up? I want to take a look real quick at a few things. And let's go over to Matthew chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, and understand this getting up. How is it that we are to get up? What does that mean? Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 2. It says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that thou may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." And as I was thinking of this arise, I want us to think about this paraplegic, this quadriplegic. How is it that Jesus can say to a paraplegic, get up and walk, go home? And it's like, this is the power, this is how we are able to get up. We don't just get up and do the work of God because, well, it feels like I ought to do something. But we, by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the power of the presence of God, he tells us, the lame, to get up. But he doesn't just tell us to get up. Not only in that passage, but also if we go back to Joshua, the second imperative there, after arise, is go. And a lot of times, I think a lot of churches operate under the concept of, we'll put up a sign that says church, and we'll sit there and we'll wait for people to show up. You know, that's not the gospel. That's not the message that Jesus gave us. In Matthew 28, he uses a participle saying that is for the word go, which is, as you are going, make disciples. We need to get up and go. Enter into this world and engage people in conversation. It's been interesting the number of times I've entered into conversations with atheists, people with an atheistic mindset, and I want them to try and back up their faith system. You know, it's been without fail, they always divert the question. They have no way to back it up, but what we as believers need to do is say, you know what, the only way that we can make sense of this world is through the God of the Bible and through the Word of God, and to show people how the Word of God is not a blind faith, but is a realistic faith, is a defendable faith. Atheism is undefensible completely. So are all other faith systems that are out there. They cannot be defended like the God of the Bible can, like the Word of God can, like Christianity can. So Joshua is given by God the beginnings of this new process, this new thing. Arise and go. Two commands that he gives. And I want to wonder and think about, how is it that we are going to be enabled to arise and go? And three times in this passage alone, Joshua is given the formula. How can I get up and go? How can I engage the enemy? How can I conquer the Hittites and destroy them? Look at verse 6. He says, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. I'm a little slow. I'm wondering, is God trying to tell him something? Be strong. Well, what does that mean to be strong? The concept behind the strong there, it has a whole lot of things. But as you look at it, and there's like 200 and some uses of that Hebrew word, and then there's another 150, 200 of the Greek from the Septuagint. So it's like, I've read about 500 verses just dealing with this one word. And it's, and the concept that's often there is used to indicate a purposeful grasping or taking ownership. It's not a be strong, but it is a take hold of it. Be purposeful about it. Take ownership of what is going to be happening to you, which is what we need to do. As we encounter this world, we need to be purposeful about it. We need to take ownership of encountering this world. And then the word that is translated courage is used to indicate a type of strength that that overshadows your own power and ability. One of the words for is boldness. See, as individuals, most of us are not naturally bold, just get right into people's faces, but we need to be. Not in an antagonistic way, but in a way that demonstrates the love of Christ, that challenges people. What do you believe and why? How many of us are able to defend the faith that we have in Jesus Christ? From the very beginning of the Word of God to the very end and say, this is defensible and this is why. Because a lot of times I listen to people talk about the Scriptures and it says, well, my pastor says this. Who cares? No offense, pastor. But who cares? The question isn't, what does pastor say? The question is, what does God say? And so we need to take every thought that we have and hold it in prison to the Word of God. That every thought that we have is held captive to the Word of God. I want to take a look at these bold stands that God is giving to Joshua, and I believe he is giving to us today. Think about this today, starting in verse 3 in Joshua 1. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. You know, the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. It has been consecrated by God through you. Do we conquer that land as being holy? When you go to work, that land is consecrated land given to you to conquer, given to you to take possession of. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And he gives the boundaries. Look at the boundaries from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites. Now, the Hittites were loving people, weren't they? They were the enemies of God. He said, the land of these Hittites, these land of these pagans, these land of these wicked people, I've given it to you to conquer, to control, to take over, to claim as the land of God. What a challenge that is. How do we do it? Well, he tells us this in verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Let's take a look back at verse 5, though, real quick. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. As we take a look at conquering the land that is around us, we go with God. He is the one that fights that battle. He is the one who will lead that charge. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will not fail thee, he says. Your enemy will not be able to stand up against you. Man, as we encounter the world and engage them in conversation, they will not be able to stand against us. So we need to engage this land and encroach upon it with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to take a look at verses 7 and 8 now. As he takes a look at the boldness that we have, in verse 7, he changes his language a little bit. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous. Now, the word translated very is an under-translation. What that word there means is exceedingly or exceptionally courageous. It's not just go and be courageous, but be exceptionally courageous. But notice what he's tying it to. He's not tying it to engaging the enemy and conquering the enemy. He's tying it to you, the believer, believing God, obeying God. It takes an enormous amount of courage to obey God. We live in a culture which is challenging us at every turn that we make. In the arena of finances, do we trust in the government to provide for us and say, you know, Uncle Sam, I need your help? Or do we turn to the Lord and say, Lord, provide through me? 2 Thessalonians, it talks about if no man will eat, neither shall he. If no man will work, neither shall he eat. Are we trusting in the government or are we trusting in God? Are we being empowered by the government or are we being empowered by God to do his will? And in 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, I don't have time to turn there because I'm trying to get done before Pastor has to start, at least. That'd be nice, don't you think, Pastor? But Peter is telling us that as you engage the people of this world, the people that you may call friends, the people are going to be scratching their heads and saying, you're a nutcase, paraphrase of what Peter's saying here. They're going to think it's strange that you do not follow them in their ways. How strong and how powerful is peer pressure? If you look at the movies and you look at and read a lot of things, you know, it's sort of strange. People sometimes in the movies and books, if a young teenager in high school is a virgin, it's laughed at, it's scorned upon. It's like, what is wrong with you? Are you some kind of nut? It's like, no, but take a look at it through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is honor to you, integrity unto you. That is being obedient to God, and it takes a lot of power to say no to those things that the world is telling you. Why not? We have a culture now, and there's even in some high schools and in some colleges that are telling young kids, giving them school assignments in college, saying go have sexual intimate relationships with someone of the same gender, write about it in the course, and explain to me what you felt, what you thought. This is perversity. And some of the people have stood up and said, no, I cannot do that. It's against the law of God. It's against the word of God. They think you're nuts. And that's okay when you're nuts for Christ's sake. And so we need to be bold and need to obey the word of God because it is the very word of God. And in 2 Corinthians 4, it tells us that, you know what, the trouble, the little bit of trouble that we may encounter in this world, remember Paul's talking? Guy who is jailed for believing in Jesus Christ. A guy who is beat up for believing in Jesus Christ. And he calls this a little affliction. That is but for a moment. We need to take that eternal perspective. That though we may suffer for a little time here, what grace and what glories we have awaiting for us in Christ Jesus. That's how we can be bold and courageous in the things of God. And in one more verse, I want to take a look at verse 9 again. He says, have not I commanded thee? And he even says the same thing to Moses back in Deuteronomy. He says, be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Why? Because the Lord goes with you. You know, the scriptures talk about where two or more are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of you. I want to challenge you to push that a little bit more. Where one of you is, with the Holy Spirit of you is, there God is. It doesn't take two for Christ to be in the midst? It takes one. Because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You carry God everywhere with you. And as children of God and as servants of God, we need to move with his might and with his power, remembering what John wrote, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The enemies of God do not stand a chance against the children of God who are going forward in his might and his power. God has challenged us to engage this world with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to engage this world to fight the battles of God with the Spirit of God. I want to conclude with 1 Samuel 17. This is the story, or the historical account. I hate the word story, forgive me. It is the historical account of David's, short little David, standing up against 9-foot-tall Goliath. And these are the words of David. He says, "That you, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from off thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not by with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." God has called us to battle. The most amazing thing is the battle that he's given to us begins here in the Word of God. It is found in the power of the Spirit of God that each one of us who calls upon the name of the Lord possesses the fullness of that power. God doesn't give faith by measure. He gives us the faith to believe. We just need to yield ourselves and say, by the power and the grace of God, I will encroach the enemy this year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God and the testimony of your grace. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and the joy that we can know that we can be and that we can live and function as your disciples, proclaiming the word of God and the testimony of Christ, that your name would be praised and honored and exalted. Lift us up, Lord, and help us to live in obedience to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.